Introducing Oakley Meta Vanguard, the new performance AI glasses designed for athletes. With hands-free capture on an action-ready ultra-wide camera, powerful open-ear speakers, and built-in Meta AI that syncs with your Garmin devices for real-time insights while you train. Take your performance to the next level with Oakley Meta Vanguard. Athletic intelligence is here. Learn more on meta.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Victor Wembanyama.
The Rich Eisen Show.
It's a 40-point game.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We will have a quarterback on Sunday. I will tell you that.
Earlier on the show, Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel, ESPN NBA senior writer Brian Windhorst. Coming up, senior NFL writer for The Athletic, Diana Rossini. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
I can confirm it is me. It's the Rich Eisen Show, hour number 3 here in Los Angeles, California. As always, pleased to be on Disney Plus, the ESPN app. Gets you everything ESPN everywhere. And then ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We say hello to those who are listening to us on terrestrial radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, or our podcast all 3 hours. We greatly appreciate that. If you missed any of the first 2 hours, we've just been reacting to, you know, just the FBI giving headlines in the sports world, in the NBA. We talked about it with Brian Windhorst last hour. We had Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the New England Patriots. If you missed any of it, there's two ways for you to count. Well, three. There's our podcast, all 3 hours, available through the ESPN Pod Center and ESPN Podcast Network. Also, there is the Disney Plus page that we have. Just hit that tile, and you watch all 3 hours whenever you want, which is great. And then there's our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, where how many subscribers are we up to right now, Mike Del Tufo? Do you got that right there? Oh, you do not?
1 million
subscribers.
Million. That's right. And counting.
Where's our plaque?
Exactly.
The more I say it, the more aggressive it sounds.
Yeah. Like I'm going to take a picture in front of the Hollywood sign with it, you know.
Because you want to treat it like it's a Stanley Cup.
Yes, man.
Is it a gold plaque? It's gold.
1 million is gold. Well,
it's a gold color. It's not actually made.
It's really gold, Rich.
Gold.
It's
well,
really
the price of gold is very high right now, so I doubt it's actual gold.
Well,
I
mean, silver has got the money.
Yeah,
they've got money.
That's true.
I'm just saying. I've already got security waiting for me.
So you're going to
security?
Are we going to treat it when we get it, like it is the Stanley Cup, where not only do we each get to take it for a day and take photographs with it, but do we get the white gloves?
Yes. Yeah, because I want a bunch of fingerprints on there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I'm taking it on the boat.
It's all very
as you should.
Okay.
We should get another boat and he can like toss it to us. Like,
oh,
Tom Brady.
Feller's got a boat.
Feller has a boat too.
Yes. We can toss it. We can totally do this.
You can toss it to Feller for his.
We 100% are doing this.
No, we're not.
Why not?
Oh, come on.
You can't tell him what to do with his day with
my day. I get to do what I want, Rich.
The last thing I'm going to do is find someone on YouTube and say, can we have another one? Because we had a boat parade. And one audio guy threw it to another audio guy, and he dropped it. And it's at the bottom of the marina here in Southern California. How embarrassing would that be?
I can dive.
Del Tufo's actually dove down there to get his keys before.
Yeah, I got my keys out of the harbor.
He's scuba certified.
Also, there, throw the plaque around.
Okay. Thank you, Rich. That's what we wanted.
This is all. This entire conversation is very reasonable.
Yeah. What are you going to do with your day, Rich?
I'm sure the Disney Plus folks are wondering, why did we get this show?
For moments like this.
Okay.
Ain't nobody else throwing around a YouTube plaque?
Yes, that's correct. I think we can confirm that. Nobody else is throwing around a YouTube plaque. Yeah.
But us.
I can confirm that. On more important items, it is true, Jaden Daniels is not starting Monday Night Football.
No, that's not good for my fans.
It's not good for anybody, to use the, I guess, unless you're the Kansas City Chiefs. Although, if I'm not mistaken, the last quarterback to prevent them from making the AFC Championship game in the Mahomes era was, in fact, Marcus Mariota, the Tennessee Titans. Yay or nay? Yay or nay?
Or
was that Alex Smith? Was that the end of Alex Smith?
Mariota's
coming to so I can already hear Stone Street screaming in the back of my head right now. Gotta mention that there was a fumble.
Jeff Triplett
called a sack force fumble, and that would have flipped the entire game. They stopped his forward progress. Yeah, they stopped his forward progress by sacking him and forcing a fumble.
Yeah, that was the Alex Smith. Alex Smith last year.
So it's the last time they were in the playoffs and didn't make the AFC
Championship.
2017. Yeah. Got it. Oof. So anyway, Marcus Mariota's coming to town, and Dan Quinn made it official.
That is confirmed. Like, he will be out this week, and Marcus will start. It was Monday. I'm getting my days mixed up, but we knew it wasn't going to be significant, meaning long, but also not well enough to say, okay, in 6 days, it's ready to go based on speed and how you would, handle this type of injury. So all of the week will be focused for him on the rehab in hopes of the following week. And so I'll assess that next week, but as opposed to some practice, some not, just put all of it, all the time and effort into that.
Okay. Now here's Jim Harbaugh quoting, you couldn't have made that switch in time for us to play, huh?
Right. Kind of a dick move by Sean Payton.
Chris. Yes, it was a difficult move. Right. No doubt about it. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Ready for this one?
I know what you're about to say.
No, hold on a second. Words that I didn't think I was going to say ever. Into this microphone.
What?
Here it is. Ready?
Okay.
Brian Schottenheimer talking about Javonte Williams going full Sir Mix-a-Lot. Have you heard the soundbite yet?
I have not.
Yes. Uh-oh. Javonte Williams, as you know, this is a revenge game.
Revenge game, yes.
Okay. This is a revenge game because Javonte Williams used to play for the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I got nothing else to talk about with the revenge game. And the Denver Broncos are coming in. Guess what, everybody? It has caused head coach of the Dallas Cowboys to go full Sir Mix-a-Lot talking about Javonte Williams and why it's potentially, that's why he's working so well in their system. Hit it.
I like big backs. I really do. I think it's that type of league right now with how everything is, played and physical. And, but you do see a guy that creates explosives, and I think why does he do that? Because he doesn't hesitate. And it jumped off the film. It wasn't, again, something that they felt like, but we knew of something that we wanted to add to our team.
Patrick.
I caught it. Yeah. I actually started to sing the rap song. Yeah. I got it. Yeah, yes, sir. Sir Mix-a-Lot. I like big backs. No, some people just got it. Some people just got it in the battle.
How did somebody not follow up with an I cannot lie? Nobody in that room
I told
do that.
You guys weeks ago, before the season started, I'm willing to give this guy a shot. I like Shotty, man. I like what he's doing. Love it.
Especially since he sounds like his dad. And I don't think his dad would have known who Sir Mix-a-Lot is. But I will give you this.
DJ. I thought he was going to say my hoopty because he's going to carry him.
Listen, I will give you this here, okay? For the Dallas Cowboys, it's sitting there for the Cowboys to make this a great football season for them. It's sitting right there. And it starts with this weekend. Hold on a second. Hear me out. You think I'm about to turn it and try and stick it in your direction, and it's not true. Listen,
no,
hear
I'll
me
do
out.
That myself. When
hear
done.
Me. No. Hear me out. The Dallas Cowboys at 3-3-1 are currently 10th in the conference, but it really is something where they can win this division because they just beat the Commanders. The Commanders are without, Jaden Daniels for. Again, they're saying it's not going to be a long period of time, but this is a hamstring. We have no earthly idea. You could say it's a low-grade strain, but it's not your hamstring when you say that. And
and he's not playing this Monday. And so the Commanders are have got an issue. They're going to be 3-5 if they do not beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're 1-4 in conference. The Dallas Cowboys are 3-3-1. You win against the Denver Broncos while the Eagles take on the Giants. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, hear me out here. And then Dallas, after this game against Denver, have two Monday night football games around a bye. And then the Monday night football games are against the Cardinals at home and the Vegas Raiders in Vegas. While the Philadelphia Eagles in that three-week stretch have a bye after this game against the Giants, while the Cowboys are taking on Arizona. And then while the Cowboys are on their bye, Philadelphia visits Green Bay on a Monday night. Hmm. And then when they're the Cowboys taking on Vegas on a Monday night, the Eagles play Sunday night at home against Detroit. And then the two shall meet in Dallas. Hmm. It's more than It's sitting right there. Now, it is a higher register Thursday.
Yeah.
So this whole conversation is higher register, but which, again, for everybody out there, means if you go higher register, you've got to go higher register to believe what you're saying. Right now, it starts at Denver. They beat the Denver Broncos, and there's a path here. There's a path here for the Dallas Cowboys to meet Philadelphia in Dallas and take the division. You bet. It's sitting right there. They beat Denver to go 4-3-1. And Denver, as we all know, has been on the edge of looking terrible and then pulling it out of their orifice at the end. And it's there, brother.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
I know. I get it.
Well, I mean,
I'm just sitting. It's there, sir.
It is, but if I can, I'll just push back a little. As you know,
why would you push back? I'm telling you,
don't push back. Why would you push back? Because I'm just going to give you a few facts, if I may.
All right.
One fact is, much like Sir Mix-a-Lot, I too love buttermilk biscuits. That's not the point.
Okay. Are you Googling that?
Do I need to Google Sir Mix-a-Lot? Come on, no. The other point being, as you guys know, I always say about the Giants and the Washington football team how we own those guys, right? And I'm usually right. Fact of the matter is, with us, when it comes to the Broncos, they've beaten us 7 times in a row. Ooh. I don't have faith, for whatever reason, in us
that
beating.
That goes back to John Fox? Is that what you're saying? I mean, like, it doesn't matter.
7 times in a row is 7 times in a row.
I don't think it matters. Let's go. How about this, man?
Let's
Dak's going to show up
exactly.
in Denver.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb's showing up in Denver. George Pickens is showing up in Denver. Their tight end who catches touchdowns like he's Jason Witten is showing up in Denver. The offensive line is going to keep Dak clean for Dak to be the MVP that he can be.
Sure. But
you know who's also having
Denver slow starts, man.
Do you know who's got that window, the IR window opened up? That kid Overshone, who was awesome
before
he blew out his knee.
Yeah.
You put him behind that defensive line, and maybe you're going to get some pass rush going. And Philadelphia shows up, and A.J. Brown keeps on tweeting out these cryptic messages and Instagramming out these messages about it. Use me, but don't use me, or what the hell? I don't even know what he's saying anymore.
No, nobody does.
Using me, but not using me.
What does that even mean?
Okay,
that's a Tevin Campbell song from the late 90s.
All I know what it means is there's a path. And I cannot lie.
You know, the brothers can't deny.
I like big paths for you and your Cowboys.
I blame Monaco for this. We had to talk last night afterwards.
Blame our director.
And I was so excited. And Monaco was like, we might as well just tank the season. So
tank the season, John. What do you do?
Here's what we're going to do. Because I went down the path. And
Good path.
I don't want to be late for our next guest. Diana Rossini. We're going to finish up with Higher Register.
Higher?
We're going to tease it because I think it's a better way to finish the show.
See, now I don't believe what you were saying.
Let's go to Jay in Columbus, Ohio. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jay?
Good afternoon, fellas. Appreciate you taking my call.
N-O.
What up, man?
Yes. What's up, Jay?
Jay?
Well, I'm a longtime Giants fan, and after last week's debacle, I think I might be in the minority of taking more positive out of that game than negative with the way they played against
a
top five defense.
Oh, God.
But that only brings the question of a coaching seat that was warm now seems hotter, and that always brings the question when a coach is in danger, who is the replacement? I love Jackson Dart. I love Scataboo, the Arm and Hammer twins. But if they're going to get rid of Daboll, who is the replacement?
Why would they get rid of Daboll, Jay? Why?
I don't think they should.
They shouldn't. And by the way, I don't think they will. Why would you do that? If Jackson Dart is showing what he can do, and the coach who is the one who is behind the scenes here, why would you bounce him? Why would you do it? You know, like, I don't know. By the way, I thought you were going a different direction. I thought you were going to sound like that Jet fan kid all of a sudden, you know, talking about your team.
I hate this team.
I thought that's where you were going, Jay. But no, you're the other way around. I like it. You've got a glass half full over there in Columbus. Are you a Buckeye fan, Jay? Let's be straight up. What are you a Buckeye guy?
Hell no. I'm a fan of anybody who plays them.
Oh, I like Jay. Oh, he's
just Jay in Columbus.
Jay. I like Jay.
I like you, Jay. Why do you feel that way about Ohio State in Columbus?
They're fans.
Okay.
If they win, they burn a couch. If they lose, they burn a couch.
Ah, either way, you can't have a couch.
Yeah. Not a good thing in the house.
All right, Jay. Thank you for the call. That's Jay in Columbus.
The problem is the Giants may not get more than 4 wins this year, so you're going to bring back a coach that's 4-13?
All right.
Let's look at the schedule.
Hold on a second. Michael, put it up here.
In the back,
put it up
please.
Here. I don't know why you would say the Giants are going to win
look
only
at their schedule.
4 games when they won against Philadelphia and the Chargers and almost won, made it 3 out of 4. All they had to do is just get off the field once.
They got smoked by the Saints.
But that's why I am counseling you, and why when we had Vrabel on in hour number 2, I said, I know you don't raise banners for going 5-2 because with a kid quarterback and some team that's still gelling, it goes up and it's down. Please, at one point they're gonna. You think they're done?
I think
winning games that nobody expects them to win. You think they're finished with that? That was just a flash in the pan. I think differently.
Kind of.
I think they're gonna come up with a couple other such wins. Dart has got the it factor, and you and I both know that. All of us do. You know that too, pal. When you take on when they visit you, or you visit them at the end of the season, you know,
yeah,
that's not going to be easy. You're probably going to need that one as a Cowboy fan, based on the path I already described. You know,
like I said yesterday, I said I didn't think he was a home run, based solely upon it might be just too early to say that, but I do feel like they've got their guy. If I'm a Giants fan, I'm psyched right now.
You should be. If you're a Giant fan, and because again, let me just say this one more time, certainly for our ESPN radio audience in New York City. Listen.
Do you need music?
No. This is not for music. I'm going to direct the camera directly at the Giants fans. Giants fans, you know what it's been like. You know there's also been no hope. Even when Daniel Jones showed up and did what he did in the playoffs, you're wondering, is this for real? And then we found out what the answer was emphatically. Okay, we understand what happened with Saquon walking and doing what he did. I understand that you feel that way, and you feel like the trapdoor is always going to open up. Two things. One, you know you got the quarterback right. Deep down, you know it. You're excited. You're excited watching Scataboo do his thing, too. You're watching Dart and Scataboo. What do you call me? Arm and Hammer?
Arm and Hammer.
Okay. I've been referring to them as the Tango and Cash of the National Football
League. Also good.
I kind of like Arm and
they've
Hammer.
I understand one's got an arm and one's bringing the hammer. I get that. I understand that. I'm more pop culture than, you know, cleaning things.
Okay.
The Giants, there's reason to be excited to watch this team. There's reason for it, okay? Enjoy that. Enjoy that, because the co-tenants are taking impressionable young children.
I hate this team.
And making them stare into the abyss about why they even exist on the planet. That's what's happening on the other side of MetLife. That poor kid. somebody. We searched for him. What, we've been told that the parents don't want to, are still up in the air about making him available.
That's basically where we're at right now.
Excellent parenting skills. You know who's got that excellent parenting skills? This guy right here.
Best dad I ever. Hate this team.
I texted this video to my 14-year-old son, who's a diehard Patriot fan because his mother is, and said, the fact that I did not make this your existence is proof of my great parenting skills. Told that to my 14-year-old, and he didn't respond to me on text. And I said to him later on, I'm like, Coop, why don't you respond to your dad on text? What's going on?
Pay no mind?
It'll take him a few years to fully appreciate what you've done
for
him.
He's already, right? He's there.
You know.
He knows.
Please, Giants fans, just soak it in. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. They make the claims process easy so you can get back on the road in no time. It's why over 43 million drivers trust Progressive. See for yourself at progressive.com. 43 million, which is 42 million more than our YouTube.
We're on our way, though, right?
See, I make it about myself. There's an I in Progressive and Rich and Eisen. And Diana and Rossini.
Yeah.
And The Athletic. Wow.
And it's Disney.
Like Sesame Street all of a sudden.
Disney's got an eye.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Diana Rossini, senior NFL insider for The Athletic here. Our radio audience just rejoined us. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. And the video we just saw of Lamar, I think, looks like a guy who's going to play. Your information, because there was no actionable, what was it, injury intelligence? What was the phrase that that John Harbaugh used?
Shareable injury intelligence. I wrote that down.
That's what he said. What do you have in, in all legitimacy in your notebook on this right now is what?
I do believe he's day-to-day. Okay. I do. But the hope here is the actionable part of this is that he's going to be good to go. If he does not start, I do expect Snoop Huntley to get an opportunity here. I know that they had planned on the offensive side of the ball for some packages for him over the last few weeks. And look, when you look at what this offense can do with a guy who can run, and we've seen Snoop do it before, it makes a lot of sense why they would look to him if Lamar was not able to go. And just let's just go back from before the bye week.
Yes.
There was optimism that Lamar would be back. So the fact that we're here on a Thursday and it's still not full go and clear to us, outside the fact that he does look fantastic there on the practice field, jumping around, having a good time. You know, I don't love that. I would have loved to have started the week like we're back from the bye. We got our guy back. But look, you can't rush this injury. This is we're seeing so many hamstring problems around the league right now, and it's really very individual. It is how it goes, and sometimes it doesn't go the way you want it. But I think all signs are good for the Ravens here.
Diana Rossini of The Athletic, senior NFL insider here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, what is happening in Philadelphia? Is there any there? What is happening with AJ Brown and his latest Instagram using me but not using me phrase? You know,
what do you think that means?
I have no idea that they're using me, but I don't know. I wish I could, because they used him and they abused the Vikings with him. So what's the issue here? And I can't be that Devontae Smith ate more than him, can it? I mean, like, what's going on? I don't know. The guy wants to win, and I give you the floor. What's the scoop here, Diana?
I think it's let's focus on the word use. I think it's how they're using him and how he thinks they're using him in parts of the game. We see him obviously catch passes, score some touchdowns in certain situations that when they need them. But I think from AJ's perspective, and this is just based on me reading his caption, that he just wants to be part of the game plan more often. He wants the passing game to open up consistently. And look, I think we got a little window into that against the Vikings, and bottom line, they won, and that's all that matters. But in Philadelphia, you've got a lot of mouths to feed. You have a lot of talented players. You have a lot of well-paid, talented players. And he is wide receiver one. And he does not want to just run routes and not get the ball. And I talked to Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie at the owners meeting in Midtown Manhattan yesterday for a while about this. Just how do you manage this? Like, Let's just take out the fact that you're winning, but focus on the fact that this could be a precursor to a problem. Yes. This could, how does this get better? Because if you have an unhappy AJ Brown, even if you guys continue to win, that it's not going to work itself out. Because I don't really necessarily believe the we'll call it whining and the passive aggressive posts are going to help his cause anyway, because they're going to just continue to do what they think is best for the Eagles.
Yes.
And, you know, Jeffrey's very transparent. I love the fact that he doesn't hide from the fact that there's something off. There's something up there in the locker room and he knows it. And look, part of the Eagles like it that way. He said he and Howie and Nick Sirianni actually construct the roster purposely to have all this variety. And he knows that the Philadelphia Eagles flourish when it's intense. He didn't use the word drama or challenge or, you know, because I think a lot of us have used this analogy. The Eagles are that couple that love to fight because they just like enjoy making up, I think. And Jeffrey and I actually talked about that. And he laughed and he's like, it's not that we want to fight. We just need the intensity all the time. For whatever reason, that is what works. That is what motivates this team. So I think they're really good at managing it. I think they're probably one of the best teams in football, probably outside what the Chiefs maybe, who can do a good job of going, all right, we got studs that want the ball. How can we keep everyone happy? And I said to him, I said, what if AJ Brown knocks on the door, on Howie's door on Monday morning after this weekend against the Giants and goes, I want out. Like, what do you do then?
Right,
He said, we do what's best for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, what's best for the Philadelphia Eagles wouldn't be to trade A.J. Brown.
It is not to trade him. And we got there eventually, you know, in terms of the conversation of, all right, well, what do you do? Pass catcher and pass rusher are the two positions that everybody wants before this trade deadline. And multiple teams would want to have an A.J. Brown on their roster. But the Eagles, they're not moving him.
Well, I mean, I'm looking like the Bills would really be able to use him. I mean, I honestly, like the Colts, I mean, why would the Colts mess with anything? The Patriots already have, and I mean this when I say it, this kid Booty is, he's a big dude who can catch physical, dude who can catch passes too. Broncos, right, because the Eagles would never trade him within the division or I don't think the conference anyway, but it's a stupid supposition. And I guess if you'd rather have him pop off on Instagram than in the huddle, right? I'd rather have him reading a book about inner excellence than messing with the larger scheme of things, unless that's what is happening behind the scenes. It is just a wild conundrum that the guy does what he does, and then we're all wondering if he's even happy there. And if there's any significance, that can it tear the team asunder? And your answer is no, because they kind of dig it. They're kind of used to it.
Yeah, they dig it. And Lori has a lot of confidence in Sirianni, you know, and I think over the years, Sirianni does, you know, I think he takes a lot of criticism, despite the fact that the guy just won a Super Bowl. But
it is Philadelphia. You know what I mean? Like it's not an easy place to play. New York, Boston.
They're never happy. They're never happy. And that's why they can be great. And I think I actually think the fans being as tough as they are is why they're able to perform, because it's pressure every single day.
Sure.
But Lori was just saying that Sirianni's strength as just a leader, he's like, without a doubt, like forget the football stuff. It's dealing with these personalities. And, you know, I said to him, I go, all right, so AJ posts something like this. What do? You know, how do you manage that internally? He said they met with him. They each meet with AJ, ownership, GM, head coach, and they just talk it out. They just try to hear him and listen. And then the three of them meet and go, all right, how do we want to go about it this week to address it? This seems exhausting to me, right? this seems like a lot of work for a team that is so talented.
Yeah.
But I think the other part of this is, let's take out the ego that can be annoying and perhaps maybe the selfishness that can come off of this. Does AJ have a point?
Well, I'll tell you what, he may have a point, Diana. Maybe, and I guess let's get deep into this then. If I had a peg of an actual major problem for the Eagles, is that Saquon's not running the ball like Saquon did last year. And I don't know if it's the upfront or what, you know, is it the offensive coordinator? Is it the play calling? But because that's the problem. Because at some point in time, you know, that's what gets you through a cold day in January. You know what I mean? Like, that's what can get you through a cold day in February when you've got a lead with 5 minutes to go. That's what gets you through. And that's what the Colts have. That's what the Colts have in Jonathan Taylor right now. Jonathan Taylor's running like Saquon last year. And so that's why I'm not concerned about whether the Colts are for real, even if people still are at 6-1. The Eagles don't have that run game right now. They're not road grading people. They're not imposing their will on anybody. That's what I think is bigger than maybe whatever A.J. Brown is talking about.
The ground game won them the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah,
that was the identity of the Philadelphia Eagles, right?
Yeah.
But if you have an offensive line that's banged up, right, it's quite evident. They're a little older. They obviously miss Mekhi Becton up front. And Saquon maybe isn't, well, you know, popping off like he was last year for a variety of reasons. You got to adjust, right? And if you've got the quarterback who had a perfect passing rating last week, and you've got two superstar wide receivers, right? Like, we're not talking about, you know, receivers that you're like, oh, I don't know if we could trust it. It's like, no, they're fantastic and they want the ball. So I just think they know this. The Eagles know that they're going to probably have to change a bit of their identity here. And the passing game is going to be integral. And I think that's where this frustration from A.J. Brown comes from. I just think perhaps maybe a little bit of patience. But I can tell you the New York Giants know exactly how to play this team. They saw it just a few weeks ago. They know where the problem spots are for this team. And it is on the ground and it is up front. And this Giants D can eat, as we saw. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a really good test for both teams, really, especially for this Giants. They're emotionally spent from that game. When I talked to some people there on Monday, even bleeding into Tuesday a bit, of just like reaction to that game, of how they all felt, like they know they had to move on. But I think this is going to be the game, this game against the Eagles, that's going to determine everything about the New York Giants moving forward. Everything.
What, including the coach? Really? That's what you're saying?
I think this is going to tell you. This is going to tell you who they are, right? Mm-hmm. Can you come back from a gut-punching, heartbreaking loss, losing a game that you're not supposed to ever lose historically, and play the Super Bowl champs and beat them again?
Sweep
they
them.
Haven't,
yeah,
they sweep haven't them. Swept them since what? Is it like 1996? Something ridiculous. Mm. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this, and I want to see if maybe AJ Brown will one day be happy.
We'll find that out. Before I bid you farewell on this Thursday, Diana Russini here, I'll ask you what I ask everyone in your position that comes on, senior insider on this program, because you are sought out for information as much as you're doing it the other way around, with sources in this league. People are calling you up. What do you know? What are you hearing about? What's the team that everyone's blowing you up about around the league, your sources about? What's of curiosity to the rest of the league when they're reaching out to you, Diana?
It's more about who's selling.
Okay.
Like, teams are calling me going, who's moving who? Who's available right now?
Okay.
I talked to Jerry Jones about this yesterday because I was trying to get him to tell me what he was doing here.
And?
It ain't pass rusher, can tell you that. Which I thought that would be something that they would maybe look into. He said, we're going defense if we do this. We're not going pass rusher.
Well, didn't he also say, Micah, rest easy, everybody. We're not trading him. And he's also like, Micah's going to have to play under, you know, for us, contract or nothing. And then the whole time he's trading him, you know, like, you know, I don't know with this guy.
Are you telling me Jerry Jones was saying something that he didn't?
I'm just pointing out that there's a recent track record. I'm not saying that that's what he was doing. But, you know, he's done it before. But so the Cowboys are buying, is what you're saying. So
here's how he said it to me. We will take his words for what it is, right? When I hop off, you can be like,
no,
he lied to her. She took the bait. What happened to the savvy Jersey girl we know? She's dead in the water.
I would never do that to you, Diana. I would say it to your face. Come on now. I would never do it behind your back until you hang up.
Just text it to me and I won't respond to you. Like
go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You have the floor. Go ahead.
So he said, look, we're going to look. We're calling around. We are interested. We know that we could use a piece. Hey, we've got the picks, going back to the Micah conversation, right? Because of that trade. But he spent more time talking to me about how sometimes when you do trade for a player, you unsettle what you're building and what you have there, because that player is then replacing somebody that is in that position already, that may have a strength that is working. Now, we could argue that they need anything. Like, what is he talking about? Who are you worrying about messing up? You know, like, but I walked away from the conversation with only what I can hear and what my instincts tell me, which is I don't think they're pressed to make a move. I don't think they feel that they have to do it. He's got tons of belief in Matt Eberflus. And he kept pointing to their defense against the Commanders. He's like, I said, yeah, but you had two takeaways. Like, you can't rely on that every week. But he said this was all about execution. He's like, when we execute, I don't worry. It's not about the scheme, right? Because we talked about how the scheme changed a bit here over the last few weeks. It's like, it's not scheme. It's if the players just listen and do what they're supposed to do, we're going to win. So we'll take that for what it is. So when they make a trade, in an hour, I'll hop back on and you can just call me the clown of the year.
No, I won't do that ever. As a matter of fact, I respect you so much. I'm going to give you the information you were asking about, because I have the NFL Network research packet right here in front of me, because I'm a lead pipe wielding professional. The Giants have not swept the Eagles in a season since 2007. They won the Super Bowl that year. And matter of fact, the Eagles currently have the longest active win streak at home against a single divisional opponent. They've beaten the Giants 12 straight times in Philadelphia. There's your information that you were seeking.
Thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
In my household.
Thank you for your information, Diana, and your time. Greatly appreciate it. Thanks for joining. We'll get you back here soon.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I appreciate all you in there, too.
You got it. Yes, the co-host of the Scoop City podcast and The Athletics, Diana Rossini. Tell me when she's gone so I can talk.
Nope. Still listening. Still listening. Still listening. Nope. Still there.
Oh, my God. When is she going to stop with the zooming?
Still there. She's not disconnected.
All right. Let's take a break. We got higher register when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show, and your phone calls on the program.
Tonight, turn down the noise of the day and focus on the rest with AGZ, the nightly drink for winding down and resting up. New from AG1. AGZ supports your body's natural sleep cycle with clinically studied key herbs, adaptogens, and minerals in amounts supported by research. And no melatonin, helping you wake feeling rested. Wind down, rest up with AGZ. Learn more at drinkagz.com.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
I care deeply about pediatric cancer research. I run for them every single year. One of them being the kids in need. Hyundai Hope on Wheels, I'm so proud to tell you about it every single day. Over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million, supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more, because at Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Wesley in Boise, Idaho. Let's take his phone call. What's up, Wesley?
Hey, what's going on, Rich?
What's on your mind, sir?
Well, man, you had a caller while back that was sitting there referencing between Lamar and Justin Herbert.
Yes, sir.
I know you guys don't, you don't build your bones on callers cracking other callers, so I'll reframe this as more of a Seinfeld-esque sort of observation.
Okay.
Don't know if you noticed it, but if you run back that call, I would say that guy sounded an awfully lot like higher register Patrick Mahomes with a slight chest cold.
That's quite a vivid description.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I beg to say it's spot on, man.
Okay. Well,
not saying Pat's up there colluding for the NFL to, ruin fantasy football. I'm just saying this guy particularly sounded like that.
Well, it's the only conspiracy theory involving Patrick Mahomes I haven't heard yet.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Wesley and Boise, thank you for that. Do you have a higher register for us?
You know, I'm not really good at the old high register, but
not bad.
My best chance.
By the way, you're a tremendous. You're not a slouch. You're a tremendous slouch. Don't worry about it. Well done.
I appreciate that. There you go. Thank you. Check that guy out. Man.
Okay, Wesley in Boise, Ohio.
Wesley, thanks, man.
Wesley in Idaho, right there. Very good. It's Higher Register Thursday. We've noticed years ago, again, if you're unfamiliar with this segment, if anybody in your life goes higher register to tell you something, they might not really believe what they're saying. Well, they have to go higher register in order for them to believe what they're saying. So that's led us to having the higher register take of the week, each one of us giving you a higher register take of the week for week number 8. And we've got some great production value to introduce it.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen shows.
That there could be.
Higher register. Take of the week.
All right, Christopher, week 8, higher register. You have the first. You go first, please.
So a few weeks ago, when you were stumping for Jake Browning and you're like, the season's not over.
For the Bengals, correct.
And I'm like, just look at how bad he's been. Look at their schedule.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Look at their division. It's over. No, I was just saying, look, it's over. The season's over. Okay. The Bengals are going to have a top 5 pick. It's over.
And?
I don't know, guys. Maybe the Bengals season isn't over after all.
Okay.
Joe Flacco's about to win 2 in a row. He looks tremendous again, like his playoff Super Bowl run self. And, you throw it to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and good things happen. Yeah, maybe they can do this.
I knew you'd come around. I thought you'd be lower register finally coming around because the season is not over after all. I was just off on which quarterback was going to lead it. TJ, what do you got over there? What's your high register take of the week?
Well, I don't mean to be disrespectful with my take, but there's something I picked up on here in this studio. We have a tendency to call people the mush sometimes, right?
You mean like Chris?
Listen, one time you had Chris's coach calling into the show, a man named Dino Babers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he was coaching Syracuse. He was on a heater.
And on his birthday, birthday,
because Chris happened
and I
after
share
that?
A birthday,
that's right.
Chris's team lost.
And he got fired.
Now.
We had Fran Brown on.
Fran Brown called
in. What happened the following week? Did they did they beat Duke or did they get whipped by Duke?
They lost.
Okay.
So all I'm saying, guys, is I'm not saying, but I'm just saying. Mike Vrabel called into the show today.
Uh-oh.
And based upon what's happened the last few times when the Brockman's coaches have joined us, I think the Browns are going to upset the Pats this week. Just based upon what we've seen and the knowledge that we know, I think that was the kiss of death. Sorry.
Man, I hope not.
Do take
not
your heart like pills and buckle up.
Take your heart pills and buckle up.
I took no pleasure in that.
Here we go. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs, once upon a time, 0-2. Everyone's wondering what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I gave them the higher register of like, I think the Chiefs have turned a corner. What have they done?
That was my higher register last week.
They have turned a corner. I was higher register about the Chiefs
before you were, sir. I did it last week.
What have I been saying about the Baltimore Ravens? I've been saying it. I've been saying it.
So what is you saying, though?
Well, you know how I've been feeling it, that they are going to give it a run and that their season is not over. And at this point in time, because Lamar has not yet been made official, I'm going to have to only just go higher register.
Okay.
I think the Ravens are about to turn the season around just like the Chiefs. Just take a look at their schedule, guys.
Okay.
Take a look at their schedule.
I like
what I mean, they got the Chicago Bears this week. I know the Bears have won 4 in a row. But all they got to do is just beat that Bears team at home and then turn around. And they have the one win the Dolphins on a Thursday night. Then they go to Minnesota. They could win that game. At Cleveland, of course. They got the Jets and Cincinnati and Pittsburgh at home.
That's some tough ones.
Come on now.
Division games.
I think the Ravens are going to start their comeback just like the Chiefs.
Double high register.
Oh, that's it. I don't even need any helium for that one.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.